Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. I hope you had a relaxing weekend because we have a big show today. It's so big that I actually capitalized and italicized the word big in my script. I hope you can really hear the italicization. But before we get to today's lineup, I want to talk a little business. I've mentioned a few times we're looking for a studio sponsor for the Razzball Podcast. So what I was thinking is, until we actually get one, let's do something for you, the loyal Razzball listener. Here's a plan. Let's do some guerrilla marketing for your business or a crappy side project. Just tweet me at Nick Capozzi or email me nick@razzball.com and tell me why your business should be this week's studio sponsor. Something like, this is the Razzball Podcast, brought to you by Joe's Snow Removal Services, the experts in snow removal from the greater Phoenix area. If you want to get to the front of the line, do something for Razzball Nation. Like if you own a bar or a strip club or massage parlor and you want to host a Razzball Fantasy Draft, it's pretty much guaranteed we'll work you in. But everyone will be considered. I haven't run any of this by Gray and Rudy, but I'm a lot bigger than them, so I got a good feeling about it. Okay, on with the show. Comedian and star of the TV show Sullivan & Son, Steve Byrne, will join us today. He's auditioning to replace Jay Rong as the official half-Korean, half-Irish stand-up comic of the Razzball Podcast. And we've also got JB with the Daily Fantasy Report. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. They're both on today, but we've separated them. We are optimistic, though. The counseling is going well. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of June the 10th, brought to you by Smokey's Tours of Hoboken. See Frank Sinatra's birthplace, cut the line at Carlo's Bakery, and check out the Hoboken Bong Emporium. Visit SmokeysHobokenTours.com for more information. Here we go.
Nick, sorry, gotta interrupt here. He's calling nonstop, and it's ridiculous. Can you just take this call, please?
So, hey, Nick, what's going on here?
Is that you, Jay Rong?
Yeah, this is Jay. This is kind of awkward, don't you think? I mean, let me get this straight.
You're not scheduled on the podcast today, Jay. Why are you calling into the studio?
Well, see, I got a problem here. One Korean Irish guy wasn't good enough for you guys. I mean, my contract, let me find it here. Let's see, on page 532, paragraph 6, sentence 2, punctuation mark 4, stipulates that there can only be one Korean Irish dude on the Razzball Podcast. Now, I don't know what's going on here.
Okay, but Jay, it's not every day we can get a guy with his own hit TV series on the Razzball Podcast.
Well, let me tell you something. Look, there's just so few of us out there right now. It's like Highlander. It's like, you know what? Sean Connery is training me right now for this. I even have the generic Korean haircut ready to go. You know, the semi-buzz flat top with the ball in the back of your head that's buzzed especially close that all the ladies love. I'm spoiling huge amounts of cabbage already. I'm drinking Jameson left and right. I'm telling you right now, man, this is Clan Longfellow versus Clan Byrne, and I'm ready.
Okay, Jay, you know what? Let me do the podcast. We'll talk after. We'll have a conversation. But I'm going to get back to work now, okay?
All right.
The Razzball Podcast. And we are very pleased to be joined now by Steve Byrne, the fabulous comedian and star of TBS's hit series Sullivan & Son. You can follow him on Twitter at Steve Byrne Live. That's B-Y-R-N-E. Steve Byrne, welcome to the Razzball Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
We're really excited to have you on today. And in fact, there's been some fighting going on here at Razzball Central. Not everyone in the studio is happy you're on this week. One of our regular contributors, our co-host in training, Jay Rong, was the official half-Irish, half-Korean stand-up comic of the Razzball Podcast, and he was actually working on a treatment for a show
But it was really different from Sullivan and Son. In this one, he moves back to D.C. and takes over his mother's bibimbap and kimchi shop. But after all the success of Sullivan and Son, he hasn't been able to shop that around.
Well, he probably could to all the major broadcast networks because we're on basic cable. So he might have a shot on a bigger stage.
You know what? We love TBS. And in fact, even because we're actually taping up in Toronto, we get Peachtree TV, and we're having a bit of a protest right now that we're trying to get Sullivan & Son actually on Peachtree TV as well.
You guys care too much. I don't know that that sounds like too much effort. Just download it.
Yeah, you know what? You would think you could do that out of Canada. And of course, for the majority of our listeners out of the U.S., you can do that. But you can't do that in Canada. There's an invisible barrier when it comes to downloading.
Oh, really?
We're just going to have to look you up on YouTube.
First the Leafs break your heart, and now Sullivan and Son?
You know, and it's funny, and that's where I was going to go here, because this is a fantasy baseball show, but I'm going to hijack it for a moment, since, again, we do tape in Toronto. I want to talk a little hockey with you, because you're originally from Pittsburgh, you're a Penguins fan, and you just got waxed by the Bruins in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Any chance you can play goal next season for the Penguins?
I think anybody'd be better at goal. I mean, look, Vokoun did amazing, and you know, it was Fleury that just, you know, this is a guy that took us to the finals in 2008, took us to the finals and won the cup in 2009. I think ever since that Philly series last year, he hasn't been the same. And then this year, seeing him, and look, when Vokoun came in and Vokoun played great, you know, there were two goals that went on off defenseman's skates, so I don't count those against him. And I think he played amazing. But Fleury, man, he comes in to replace Vokoun that one game. And the first shot he lets in, it's just, I don't know if he's going to be around next year.
I don't think he could ever play for the Penguins again. Now, you actually, growing up in Pittsburgh, I heard that you actually played hockey.
Yeah, I played hockey. It started when I was six, and I still play to this day. I don't play when we're taping, but I love the sport. I absolutely enjoy the heck out of it. It's pretty funny. This season we had Ryan Miller pop in and do a guest spot on our show, and Dave Boland was just by our set the other day on the Hawks when they were playing LA. So yeah, we have a lot of hockey stuff, and the Lemieux jersey that's on our set was sent to us by the Penguins, and Lemieux autographed it for us.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, you are blowing some people's mind here, actually, in the studio. Kyle, the super producer, is trying to lift his jaw off the floor as we speak, because usually, you know, hockey is not brought up here, only when we're talking about the Razzball Hockey Podcast. But now you're also, and this, you got some explaining to do here, because you're also a Blackhawks fan. Oh. How does that happen?
Yeah. Well, I moved to Chicago maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and lived there for quite some time, and I started going to the games. And so my man card, the excuse I use is that I root for the Hawks in the West and the Pens in the East. But I got to know some of the guys, for example, like Dave Boland, and became friends with him. And, you know, it's tough not to root for those guys. That it's such a great team, and that city really loves the Hawks. It's infectious. So, you know, I got on board with them, and they're a great bunch of guys. During the lockout, I got to skate with them a few times, which was quite a treat for me. The 13-year-old me in me was really giddy, but it was amazing.
Well, listen, if you're ever passing through Toronto, just send us a tweet. We'll get you on the ice here with some of the Leafs. Now, you're also a baseball fan. Are you a Pirates fan, Cubs fan? I don't know where to start anymore, Steve.
No, I'm a Pirates fan. You know, every year it seems like they get hot just before the All-Star break. Then the All-Star break happens, then they fall apart. But this year, I don't know. They look pretty good, and McCutcheon's off to a great start as usual. And I'm actually in the car right now with Roy Wood Jr., one of my co-stars on the show, and he's a huge, huge Cubs fan. Him and I don't know if you can hear him, but him and Brian Doyle Murray are constantly checking the Cubs on their iPads and seeing how they're doing. So they're hardcore baseball fans.
Well, listen, if they play any fantasy baseball, they're welcome to tweet us over at Razzball, at Razzball on Twitter, and we'd be happy to be VIPs. In fact, you know, we've actually floated out what we're going to try and do next season is actually going as ringers for some people's drafts. So, you know, I'll just throw that out there if Mr. Wood Jr. is ever so inclined.
Well, you play fantasy football, right? Or fantasy baseball, right? Yeah, he does play fantasy, so he plays for money. He plays for money and pride.
See, we actually, people don't realize this, but Peter King from Sports Illustrated, he's got Gray, the head of Razzball. He's got his personal cell phone number. He's constantly texting, potential trade, should I do this? So we like to think we're a ringer for Peter King's team, But listen, at this point, we're happy to assist in any way that we can.
I'll let him know, because he wants his currency in American dollars and loonies.
We can absolutely do that. Actually, I'm going to be honest, too. I'm a little bit upset with you, and this is where the whole Peachtree TV thing came up.
Here we go. We're having our first fight.
You guys are crisscrossing the country this summer for the Sullivan and Son Comedy Tour. You can check out the tour dates at sullivanandsoncomedy.com. But there's no stops in Canada, so we were, you know, just a little bit upset at that. But, you know, I'm sure there's a reason.
Well, you know something? We actually air, our second season starts in September in Canada, is what I heard. So we're actually looking to book some dates in Toronto, Vancouver, hopefully Calgary, and Montreal. So hopefully we will get there pretty soon.
Well, you know, you could probably skip Calgary. Just throwing that out there.
Really?
You know, well, you know, it's like the country music bit you did on YouTube. I'll just tell our listeners, just Google Steve Byrne on YouTube or YouTube him and look at the country music bit he did, because that was, and that's pretty much what you get in Calgary.
It's just, it's like Nashville, but a lot colder.
You know what? You pretty much hit it on the head, except I would go so far as to say Nashville is cultured.
Oh.
But, you know,
I went to the, what is it, the rodeo, or what is it called?
Stampede, Calgary Stampede.
Yeah, that's it. I went to the Calgary Stampede like a year or two ago and had a blast there.
Yeah.
Great city. I feel bad for the Flames. I feel more bad for Aginla, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is awesome, because we could talk hockey all day, but I got a feeling that I'm going to get some angry tweets to stop talking about pucks. But I'm just curious, going back on the road, I mean, that's got to take you back to kind of your old school stand-up roots, right?
Yeah, being on the road is something that, you know, we're literally, the four of us just flew back from Austin and we landed in L.A. this morning. We're driving right now to go back to rehearsal, which, you know, those are all uptown problems. But, yeah, I mean, traveling is definitely part of the fabric of being a stand-up comedian. You know, prior to having the show, I was living out of a suitcase maybe 50 weeks a year. So it's something you've got to enjoy, but you're also by yourself all the time, so it's definitely a profession of solitude.
What's your favorite city to do stand-up in?
Favorite city to do stand-up? Definitely New York, because I started there. I was there for 7 years. I started the first 7 years of my stand-up career was in New York, and there's just a vibe, like an energy about being in New York City, first off, but then getting to perform in New York, you kind of feel like you're a part of the city. So I've always enjoyed being there. Vegas is another city I love. D.C., is great just because it's got a great intimate comedy club with low ceilings, so it traps the laughter.
Right, like the old Chicago Stadium for hockey, trapping the sound right in.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So
it's as loud as the Madhouse is right now.
Beautiful. When does the second season of Sullivan and Son actually kick off this fall? I know it's Thursday nights, right? Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central?
Yeah, it starts this Thursday. So we're 4 days away from the premiere. So we're really excited. We're just doing as much as we can to get the word out. And, you know, I definitely appreciate you even taking the time to talk to me about it. So thank you.
Listen, other than the internal war that you started here, we're happy to have you on. In fact, if you're ever in Toronto, we'll actually get you here live in studio. We tape at CFNY, one of the biggest radio stations in Toronto. So we can we'll get you out to the world here out of Toronto. Steve, before I let you go, we're trying to gauge your Irishness, you know, as a half-Irishman myself.
Okay. Don't blow it.
Jameson or Bushmills?
This is a war, by the way. This is a war on set between Brian Doyle Murray and myself. He is a Bushmills man, and that makes me Jameson.
You answered the question.
So I hope I came out
correctly.
Correct? Yes. I'm part of the team?
Listen, you are part of the fabric.
I'm in the club.
All right, so again, listen, you can check out Steve if you want to see the guys on tour. Actually, can you just tell me the four guys? It's you, Steve, and then the other three guys for us?
Yeah. Roy Wood Jr., Owen Benjamin, and Ahmed Ahmed.
Okay, and that's amazing.
And it's the four guys they're all stand-up comedians. I've known them for years. And actually, when I was writing the pilot script, I wrote in Roy, Owen, and Ahmed as types of guys I wanted to have on the show, and here we are. You know, in our second season with actually all three guys that I dreamt of having on the show, and they're all cast, so it worked out pretty awesome.
You must have some naked pictures of somebody. I mean, that's a lot of pull in Hollywood.
No, I wish. I'm not that good.
All right, listen, so sullivanandsonscomedy.com to check out the tour dates. We're kicking off Thursday, 10, 9 Central on TBS. In Canada, we're protesting with Peachtree TV. But Steve, you can follow Steve at Steve Byrne, that's B-Y-R-N-E, Steve Byrne Live on Twitter. And we'll see if you're ever in Toronto. We'd love to have you in studio, Steve.
Absolutely. And maybe next year I'll join some fantasy and I'll sign up with you guys and try to get as many Pirates on my team as possible.
And you will lose.
but I'm there in spirit. You know, I'm there to represent the city.
No, it's okay. I'm just kidding. But there's quite a few of them. McCutcheon, Grilly's having a great year closing. There's some up-and-coming names, no doubt.
Well, now you know why I drink as much Jameson as I do.
By the way, we're looking for a Republic of Ireland liquor sponsor. Just putting that out there.
Well, I think we mentioned them enough to get them to float you some money.
Absolutely. All right, thanks again, Steve. We will talk to you hopefully in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely. Go Leafs.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. Of course, you can always follow them at DraftKings on Twitter. And if you want to follow who's become now our DraftKings expert here at Razzball.com, you want to follow my man at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. He can handle all your daily fantasy questions. And you did really well again this week, JB. You finished fourth in the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest Friday night.
I did. It was awesome. Back-to-back fourth place. Double up my money from $5 to $10 both weeks. It's been awesome. And, you know, it's a Razzball exclusive contest. The field is limited. I think there was only about 25 people last week or something like that. And it's a pretty easy way. All you got to do is get top 10. And you double up your money.
All right, listen, before we get into some of the players you're looking at for this week, let's mention the $100,000 punch-out is happening this Friday. So not only can you play with Rudy from Razzball, but you can also get into the punch-out, correct?
Yeah, the winner every week gets a ticket into that six-figure contest. Congrats to Paco Chu last week, and he won $200 in their last six-figure contest, getting 54th, which was about a month ago. So it's a big contest, and you don't have to win it all. It's not a one-person winner. You can win some big cash prizes and all for just a $5 entry fee into our Razzball contest.
Absolutely. So who are you looking at this week at DraftKings.com for the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest? I know it's tough this early in the week to look at starters necessarily, but I know you always got a couple people up your sleeve.
Yeah, well, as we mentioned, this punch-out's on Friday, so the Razzball contest this week is on Thursday. So be sure to check out the link on my article on Wednesday, and you're going to have to submit your lineup pretty quickly there. I'm pretty sure it'll be for all games. It won't be only night games. It's about a half-game slate as it is with like five day games and five night games. But I like the pitching duel at Citi Field. It's going to be Wainwright and Harvey. Harvey should be fine after this little back injury when he came out. I think he'll be out there. He's been cleared to play. So I like both of those guys as big ticket pitchers. Then I also like Irvin Santana. You know, will be pitching at the Trop. He's been pitching well. Should be a little bit of a discount if you need that budget for hitters.
Now, you had some really good picks from your article last week, but it rained last Friday, so you got to be careful for rainouts. But again, DraftKings.com is the only daily fantasy site where you can sub out your people last minute. So were you able to do that yourself?
I did, yeah. I picked my lineup, I think, Thursday, and then saw all this rain stuff and rechecked it Friday morning, and I took out everyone playing outdoors on the East Coast just to be safe. So definitely check the weather. If there's even a hint of rain or something in the city where some of your players are playing, I definitely would want to, you know, err to the side of caution and take them out. But yeah, it was a solid week. My picks did decent. I did pick Albert Pujols, you know, who was one of the rainout guys in my article, but, you know, tough to see the weather 2 days ahead. But it was a solid week. In my fourth place team, I picked Chris Sale and James Shields as my pitchers. You know, both weren't huge, but did fine. Victor Martinez was my big player at catcher. He was a good price. Segura and Maven at 22 and 15 points. Those guys were solid, and those are speed guys. They got some steals and some extra base hits. And then Puig, who was picked by 80% of teams this last week, hits a homer, so he helped everyone out.
There you go. So, again, in the off chance you're not familiar yet with Daily Fantasy, it is an opportunity to play every single day based on one day's game. You get a salary cap, you go ahead and pick your players, and you get points, kind of like you would in head-to-head scoring. You can play for free. You can play for as little as $2 to get in. There's also huge contests there, too, all kinds of ranges. DraftKings.com is based out of Boston, so you know who you're dealing with. Again, that's DraftKings.com. And if you have Daily Fantasy questions, you can follow DraftKings at DraftKings on Twitter or talk to my man, JB Gilpin, JB GILPIN on Twitter. Sound good, JB?
Yeah, and you can also ask questions in the mornings on Gray's article. I'm filling in and answering some comments in the morning. He's got me shackled up to a handicapped camel, and he's whipping me and yelling gibberish in Middle Eastern, like, no, answer the question.
Okay, and that's on the Friday Morning Post?
No, that's on all posts right now. I'm helping Gray through the month of June.
Oh, what, is he busy? Is he got something on the go?
He's not whipping me, telling me to answer all his comments. He's giving keynote addresses at mustache conventions. That's all I can really say. They're invite only, very high end. You'll have to ask Gray about that in the afternoon.
All right. Sounds good. JB, thanks for joining us on the Daily Fantasy Report.
Thanks, man.
Getting to know Rudy.
You can follow him on Twitter at Rudy Gamble. Hello, Mr. Rudy Gamble. Welcome to the Resball Podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's been a great show so far this week. We had Steve Byrne on. We had Jay Wrong on. We had JB on. So let's hope that you can deliver. No pressure.
No, let's rock.
So we've been launching all these new tools, which are spectacular, and we've had some requests to create some tutorials for these. This sounds to me like a project for JB.
Well, I think first we want to have some documentation. So I'll work on putting together some documents with perhaps some images in there that'll to go along with the text. Because I think a tutorial's maybe the next step. We'll see what the feedback is.
Right. I'm just telling you what the word on the Twitter street is.
Right.
So, Rudy, tell me how we could possibly use these tools in conjunction with each other.
Well, I mean, the Streamlater and Hittertron are the ones that I'm using the most right now. The Hittertron is really coming handy because I'm an RTL. I'm streaming hitters like nobody's business right now. So usually like 1 to 2 hitters a day. I think today was 2 to 3 because of, you know, some teams are off. The way I'd use them in conjunction is you could look in Streaminator and try to figure out who are the weak links in terms of the pitchers. And the second thing I'd look for is who are the lefties pitching? Because what you could then do for Hittertron is that, you know, target right-handed hitters. That's where there's a good amount of right-handed hitters that only play against lefties but hit pretty well. You can call them the Scott Hairston All-Stars, the Jeff Baker All-Stars. There's Johnny Gomes All-Stars. There's a good amount of players, maybe like 10, that only hit in those situations. Or are basically unownable except in those situations. I think Cody Ross in Arizona is an example. Very good against lefties, against righties, so you wouldn't own him even if he plays every day. So
you're actually using the Hittertron on a daily basis. I mean, you're really streaming hitters.
It started last when I finally gave up on Ike Davis, slightly before the Mets did. So I think it was Ike Davis, and I gave up on Denard Span. And I decided to just go, you know what, I'm going to stream those spots, which is brutal to have to stream a first base spot. But I'm waiting on Corey Hart, and until then, giving it a go. So Saturday was Todd Helton Day, and I got a 3 RBI day out of him. Over the last week, I think that spot was one of my best offensive spots. I had Carlos Quentin I've had for a few days because the Padres were in Colorado and facing a lefties a lot. So Carlos Quentin had 1 or 2 homers for me. Scott Van Slyke has proven to be a good guy to own against lefties. It's worked out well, and I've also kicked myself at guys that, because you end up doing a coin flip in some cases, like there's 2 guys that are good. Scott Hairston had a few good games where I almost played him. So I'm using that right now a lot on RCL, but I'm also using it, you know, for my unsuccessful attempts at winning in DraftKings.
And I'm also going to assume that the more you use the tools, the more you'll see patterns develop. So you'll figure out, I don't say loopholes, but...
No, totally. I mean, right. So the whole point of, I think, the way I look at Hittertron is it's trying to determine, you know, are there better hitters out there than you've got on your roster today? Like I said, I've basically just freed up a position or two, much like people do with streaming pitchers. There's always a guy out there who's going to deliver something like a $20 day. assuming they start. And so it has worked out well. Now, I mean, there's certain, it's maybe easier to use it for power than it is for speed. There's not as many guys that are really, that are great on stolen bases that, you know, play sporadically. You know, there's not a lot of platoon guys. Rajai Davis used to be that way, but not really. But yeah, it can be used for those purposes. I think, you know, Streaminator I use, but I'm finding that it's there's a little more competition. I think people, that streaming pitchers has become more popular over the last year, at least in RCL.
Right.
And it also depends on your team. Right now, I need more help on hitting than pitching. And, you know, like, basically with the hitter trial, I'm finding it that there's less risk for me in it. That, you know, where I had, like, an Ike Davis who's just slumping, and I can't spare a spot to keep him on the bench. I'm doing well with that. Where Streaminator, it's good, but you can't assume you're going to get ace-level stuff out of your streams. You kind of have to assume that this is supplementing your core starters and hopefully giving you third or fourth starter quality.
Listen, let me put you on the spot, Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't discuss this coming into the podcast, but I want your take on Dominic Brown. I'm curious how you look at what he's done lately.
You know, I've got to imagine there's not a lot of months over the last couple of years this good from a guy who, you know, like that. It takes some true talent to play to hit that well. The closest thing I could think of is, I feel like Brandon Moss last year had a crazy month where he had at least 10 homers in 1 month. I remember he had 7 in a week. And I remember rejoicing because I had picked him up in free agency. So, I mean, I think highly of the moment. Like, my opinion on him has changed dramatically since the start of the year, where I thought it was a, you know, I remember Gray getting him in RCL and thinking, well, you'll probably drop him in a month or so. That you know, I didn't think he'd play every day. He might platoon a bit. At this point, I mean, I'm kind of on board with whatever hitter, you know, so the rest of season projections would be, but I'd see him as a top 15 outfielder going forward. I'm not going to think he's the, you know, the one flag has been he's not taking a walk at all.
Right.
You just wonder, why are they still pitching to this guy?
Right.
Because the rest of Philadelphia is not hitting too well. If he's not going to take a walk, I just don't understand why he's not getting like 100% breaking pitches in the dirt and let him swing for him.
Now, if you look at the Bicelotops, did I say that right?
Yep.
Okay. It's telling me that Dominic Brown is your second highest sell high option after Chris Davis. So how would you use that information and looking at Dominic Brown specifically for rest of season?
Right. So what I'm looking at by Bicelotops is saying that, you know, you can almost say like what they've done to date is the potential perception of the player, where what rest of season is what he's truly worth. So right now, season to date, he's been a $38 player. The projection for rest of season is $6. So that's a lot more bearish than when I said a top 15 hitter, top 15 outfielder. So let's just say maybe I'm a little bit more sold on his performance than the rest of season projection so far, because he doesn't have a very good track record. That's telling me if someone's going to give me $38 value, which would be Ryan Braun, you're taking that trade in a heartbeat. It's the bigger the difference, the more of a chance that someone's going to buy high on a guy, and you're going to be able to, you know, hopefully get in return, you know, more reliable talent coming back. Then you start saying like, yeah, if I can get a top 10 outfielder for him, you know, like the you know, like ideally, if Matt Kemp wasn't hurt, he'd be a good example. If someone would go straight up with Justin Upton, that'd be a hard trade to turn down, to take Justin Upton for Dominic Brown, knowing that, you know, like, with that, it's a lot more likely Brown's going to regress than maintain where he's at.
All right, well, listen, we'll keep monitoring it, and we'll keep messing around with the tools. I'm in five leagues, and in almost every league, my pitching is excellent and my hitting needs work. So I'm going to work on those. But listen, we'll keep monitoring it and see how it goes. But Rudy, thank you for, as usual, joining us on the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Thank you.
Getting to know Gray.
Gray, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Hey, what's up, man? I can do a Rudy impersonation now if you'd like.
Please do it.
So the cosine to the radius squared is 5,000, which makes my Excel spreadsheet go to 13. It's 2 above 11.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I've never asked this before. How long have you and Rudy known each other?
We lived next door to each other in the dormitories at BU in college freshman year. So we randomly met as college neighbors freshman year. It was 19... I think the dormitories back then were as simple as, like, let's put everyone from New Jersey in this section and then let them figure it out, because there was like maybe 10 people on our floor from Jersey. So it was just like a random thing that we met there. And he actually lives, he grew up about 15 minutes away from where I grew up in Jersey. So we had that in common. And then we started playing Sega Genesis hockey.
It's over.
And the rest is history.
I have a question for you from one of our writers, one of our readers or listeners. I'm all over the map here. And they want to ask you specifically, Gray, how often do you see celebrities in L.A., other than, of course, when you're looking in the mirror?
I see celebrities a lot. It's just a matter of, sometimes you see them, and it's a lot better celebrity sighting than other times. Like, sometimes I've been to, areas where it's like, this is a premiere or some sort of screening where, of course, celebrities are going to be there, so that's really not that big a deal. I feel like that's sort of a gimme that a celebrity sighting.
Yeah, I'm talking like when you're at Popeyes.
But, the good celebrity sightings are like the random ones. Like, one time I took my friend to the ER a few years back, and as I was waiting for him, in came limping Gary Coleman. I was like, what you talking about, Willis? And he was like, oh, man, come on. I think I broke my ankle. That was one of the better celebrity sightings. I've had some really pretty decent ones, though. I wrote this rap video for Crooked Eye.
You didn't write a rap video.
Yeah, I wrote he had a beef with Snoop Dogg, so he wanted a diss video about how Snoop Dogg had become like the sellout. So he invited me to his studio, and I was there, and we were talking, and it turned out this guy, Crooked Eye, used to be on Death Row Records. Anyone that knows Death Row knows that you either die or you sign over all your rights to Suge to get out of Death Row. that's the only way out. So I was talking to him, and I was like, so what happened? How'd you get out of Death Row? And he was like, oh, I sued Suge Knight. I'm like, damn, Suge must have been like hella mad at you. And in parentheses, I'm saying that, and I'm thinking, Suge wants to kill you. That's what's going on in my head. And he's like, F that N-word. And I'm like, okay, so cool. I guess so you don't ever run into him or anything. And he's like, nah, not usually, but he is in the studio next door today. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. So I like cut out. And I see, like, Suge and his whole posse of people, like, about maybe 150 feet away, and I just jump in my car, and I'm like, yo, Crooked, I had a little bit of a stomach ache, I had to leave.
Is that a true story?
I swear to God, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I, I basically wrote for my early on, one of my agents realized that I was good with black people, so I've written for like Nick Cannon, Cat Williams. I've written for a lot of black comedians, and I had one thing where I had to write a pilot for Bobby Brown, which was totally awesome. So I was I show up at wherever he was at a set, and I show up there and I'm like hanging out with Bobby Brown, and we're and he's like, "Yo, you want to play dominoes?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, I want to play dominoes with Bobby Brown." So me, Bobby Brown, and Praz from the Fugees are playing dominoes. He's like, about like maybe an hour into the, he was so stoned, and maybe like an hour into like our 50th game of dominoes, he's like, "Yo, you want to go dancing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want to go dance with Bobby Brown." So we go to, so he's like, "All right, I'm going to call Whitney." This is when obviously she was still alive. He's like, "I'm going to call Whitney, and we'll get her to meet us out there." So we go out to this club, and Whitney shows up, and he's like freaking on all these girls on the dance floor, like while Whitney's in the back, like really, totally. I think she was stoned. It's bad to say now that she's passed away, but she was totally out of it. She was just like looking off in the distance while Bobby Brown's like freaking like five honeys on the dance floor, and I'm like, this is awesome.
So, you know, I'll tell you, Gray, when I come to L.A. to visit you, you take me for a burger, and we go get a beer at a pub, and that's it.
So the best part is, so this is after Duty Bubble reality show Bobby and Whitney, but before Bobby and Whitney are still together, but this is after they're any even sort of, you know, on the radar. So they're leaving the club, and they don't just leave the club. Her, Whitney and Bobby, they get into one SUV, one of 15 SUVs, and then they have all the SUVs go different ways because they don't want the paparazzi to follow them.
You're kidding.
I swear to God, that was by far the craziest part. But yeah, So I was watching Bobby freak honeys on the dance floor while Whitney was over in the corner. That wasn't really exciting because I was kind of working with Bobby at the time, but it was kind of interesting that it was going down.
Well, listen, these are great stories, but let's just talk quickly a little bit of fantasy baseball.
Fantasy what? Oh.
I know. I couldn't even come up with a segue because I want to keep listening to these stories. I can just picture you, you know, massaging your mustache, slamming down dominoes with Bobby Brown.
Oh, my God, yeah. And we were at the La Hermitage, which is his fancy hotel. And him and Praz were putting money on the room, and Praz was like, I was like, "Praz, what's up?" And then I found out that Praz actually got most of the rights because he put up the money for the first Fugees album, the big one, The Score.
Okay.
So he got a lot of The Score money, which made like $30 million. So Praz had all this money to blow. And you never, like, you think of the Fugees, you think of Lauryn Hill or Wyclef. You don't think of Praz, but Praz was the one that had, like, all this money. And he was, like, ordering, he was like, "You want some champagne while we're playing the dominoes?"
"I want the Cristal, please."
Yeah, it was good times, me and Bobby chilling.
And now you write fantasy baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, you do what you do.
All right, listen, real quick, because we only got a couple minutes left. How does the MLB Biogenesis, I don't even know what it is, the MLB Miami Lab investigation, how's it going to affect fantasy for this year?
I actually, the Biogenesis cover band is really good. How's it going to affect this year? It's a good question there, Nicholas Nicky. I'd say there's probably going to come down with a verdict shortly in the next couple weeks to a month where they're going to say, okay, Braun, Melky, Everett, Nelson Cruz, blah, 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 are going to go. They're going to be suspended for probably 50 games or, you know, and then at that point, Braun's going to say, yeah, all right, well, I'm suing your ass. There's no way you're suspending me without a urine test. And then that'll drag on into the winter. And I'd say probably sometime in the winter, there's going to be a bit of, there's going to be some judgment finally settled in this case. And I see Braun probably having to sit out the beginning of next year.
And that's what I figured. I figured it probably won't necessarily have an effect this season, because I'm getting trade offers for Braun, Cano, anyone implicated, and it's, you know, for 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, well, like, A-Rod's not giving you anything anyway. Nelson Cruz is actually giving you something, but he's more or less replaceable because he's probably going to get injured at some point anyway. Cano is, I wouldn't sell Cano at all because he's not even really implicated in a major way like the Braun, A-Rod, Nelson Cruz people. The problem with Braun, I think, is he's actually playing injured, and it's really hurting his stats. And even if he's, even if he's playing, he's not playing the way he usually is. So you're in a tough situation where it's like, I don't want to sell Braun for 50 cents on the dollar, but I also feel like Braun, even if he isn't implicated and suspended, he's still going to have problems playing this year. He doesn't look like he's himself. So unless he suddenly, takes a cortisone shot and gets it injected into his thumb and he's hitting the way he used to, I think there's a problem with Braun even outside of the suspension.
All right, real quick, two names for you. Dominic Brown. What's he going to do rest of the season?
Yeah, oh my God. Dominic Brown, he's, I think the thing with Dominic Brown is he's probably a lot closer to how he was in April, which was still very good, then obviously he's not what he was in May when he hit like 13 homers or whatever he hit in May. But in April, he was still a solid fourth outfielder. I don't think he's a number one quite yet, maybe 2 to 3. So you're looking at a guy who is going to probably max out at 32-ish homers and 15 steals, which is great, but he's not going to hit 290 or 300. He's going to hit probably around 260. And a good comparison is Nelson Cruz.
Okay, and then real quick, just because we got to wrap this up, the legend of Yasiel Puig. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right. What's he going to do next?
Is that, wow? I had no idea how he even pronounced it. I was saying Yosel Pig. But I'm sure yours is much closer.
What do you see him doing rest of the season?
I think he's one of the more hyped up guys as of right now. So you're probably looking, if anything, to sell him high if you can do it, if you can pull off a solid trade. Because I don't even know if Crawford, Kemp, and Ethier are all healthy. They're probably benching Ethier. In the best case scenario, they're benching Ethier. But they're not going to bench him indefinitely. He's still going to get games. So if Crawford and Kemp are healthy and Yasiel Puig are they going to bench him a few games? Where is he playing? I don't know. I think it's still pretty up in the air to be saying, okay, he's this year's Mike Trout. We're not going to see a Mike Trout. Mike Trout had good fortune of having great defense and a position to play indefinitely, whereas Pig is, he's in a tough situation right now if the Dodgers are all healthy. I think it makes total sense for them to trade Ethier or bench him for him, but the league also could catch up to him at some point and he's going to hit. He's not going to hit 470 the rest of the season with a homer every other game.
Yeah, that's probably
so
fair.
I think the best case scenario for Pig is probably 20 homers and maybe 12, some steals and a 280 average, which is still really good in a prorated season, maybe three quarters of a season.
And then he'll do a Bo Jackson impression and go be a starting running back for a team and win you fantasy football as well. All right, Gray, listen, thanks for joining us. Next time I'm in L.A., I want to go party with you and Bobby, okay?
Red ball, red ball, red ball, red ball, red ball.
them, then I show my man your muscles, start to spasm. They could even call some of you to orgasm. It's a Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help? Well, you have several choices. Only one joke and yells and I'm already a Moises. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.